Washington. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're talking about owning a small business that is struggling. How do you get it out of the red and into the black? What are the mistakes? How do you fix them? What are your options? My guests are Faith Holmes, owner of Love and Faith Community Cafe here in Washington, D.C., and Ron Busby, president and CEO of the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce. Lines are open if you have a question or comment at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phone lines, Faith, you wanted to talk about alternative funding and the like. Did you want to make a comment at all?
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, as far as going to the SBA is concerned or trying to have collateral, most people who Eric was saying, you know, how do I start a business? Well, I didn't have any collateral. So it's very hard to go to the SBA. Everybody thinks that there's small business loans out there available to minorities and women. And it's kind of a little bit of a myth, because if you don't have any collateral that you can put up, you can't apply.
I see. Let me go to the phone lines. Ray, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Ray. What's on your mind?
You just answered all my questions. Lord, I wanted to thank you. First and foremost, let me say good evening to all of you all.
Hey, go ahead. How are you?
You keep bringing these programs on, and I am so thankful to you for doing this. I am a black-owned business, obviously, janitorial floor and property maintenance. I've had been on your program several times. My major struggles have always been that running the business and trying to pay your rent, my rent, as well as paying car notes, there's no working capital, and paying the $1,000 that you pay for payroll every 2 weeks. So there's no working capital there. The credit is not great, but I made strides. Now I've gotten somebody that's helping me with a business plan as well as the capability statement. And I'm also, I have my team in line, but the struggle is still there. I mean, dealing with the traditional banks, they won't give me 5-6 years with a traditional bank. They have not given me a dime. I was wondering, should I bank black, and will that help me? And like the lady just said, the SBA looked at me like I was a foreigner. You know what I mean?
Well, let's see what Ron has to say about that, and I'm sure Faith has some thoughts as well. Go ahead, Ron.
Well, I am so appreciative to hear your caller. In my previous life to running a U.S. Black Chamber, I was a janitorial firm. I started off as a very small janitorial firm doing about $150,000 a year. And before I left that firm, we were the largest black-owned janitorial service in the country, doing about $15 million a year with about 700 employees. So I,
wow.
I can appreciate your struggle. Been there, done that. And so I know how you feel each month making payroll. But I will say it can be done. There are options to financing growth. We got there double digits each year by having a plan. I was appreciative to hear that you say that you had been working on your business plan. So often business owners go into business without a plan, without a strategy of growth, without a strategy for financing, and it puts them at a disadvantage. And so I like to hear that. The second thing I want to say is that in reference to you being a black business and considering going to a black bank, I really want you to consider that 70% of bank loans made by black banks are to black homeowners and to black businesses. Currently, there are 19 black banks across the country, and they need not only our deposits, but they need our bank loans. Banks make money when we take out loans, when we get credit, when we buy purchases through their interest. That's how our banks survive, and so I'm happy to hear you mention that as well. And in reference to growth, that you have to be creative. I mean, the one thing that I will say in reference to our business model, we had a model of doubling our revenue each and every year. It was somewhat easy during the beginning years as we grew. It was always that much more challenging. But I will tell you, as Faith has done, you have to look at joint ventures, mergers, and in our case, acquisitions. And lastly, develop an exit strategy. Most business owners go into business thinking, this is a lifestyle business. I will continue to be able to get there. Whereas our competitors looking at, how do I grow my business to the point where I can sell it?
Hmm.
And long-term wealth in our community is only going to get there when we start thinking about not only mergers, but also acquisitions and exit strategies. I'd love to talk to you more offline about your particular challenge as well as the opportunities that I see in reference to facilities management.
Well, again, Ray, the information for the U.S. Black Chamber of Commerce will be on our website on WHUR.com, and you'll be able to reach out to Ron Busby online after the program. So,
thank you very much. WHUR.com, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When you go on WHUR.com, after about 8:30 or so, you will see the post and there'll be information there.
Ron Busby, how's that his last name?
B-U-S-B-Y.
B-U-S-B-Y.
There you go.
Thank you very much, Harold. I look forward to your next program.
Thank you so much, Ray. I appreciate you listening to the program. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Faith, you had a quick comment.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that really the first place any business should start is a business plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's the number one thing.
Write it down.
You've got to put it on paper. The second thing that I wanted to say is you've got to be assertive. If you're a janitorial service, show up at businesses and ask for their business. Prove to them why you are going to do better than anyone else. Showing up is key and vital to anything, and be creative.
Let's go to Gwen. Gwen calling from Alexandria. Hey, Gwen, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, thanks for having my favorite person and my... I just wanted to share, I've been a business owner on this journey for about 28 years, and as I was growing my business, I was encouraged by a customer, a big Fortune 500 company, to joint venture with a Tier 1 supplier. Now, the Tier 1 supplier was doing what I did, was doing marketing in the urban community, a Tier 1 supplier, but as a Tier 2 supplier, I had known this business my whole life because I'm an African-American and it was African-American business. Long story short, the joint venture, I want to recommend everybody to vet them because the joint venture ended up being a disaster. The Tier 1 company went out of business.
Let me stop you, Gwen. What is Tier 1, Tier 2? What does that mean?
Okay, so a Tier 1 supplier with major corporations are the companies that are direct suppliers. So oftentimes they will suggest a minority supplier will work under a majority supplier to get in the business because oftentimes we're the last one to the table. So we may not often have an opportunity to bid or be at the table because, you know, generational, those folks are general market people have had the contract for a long time. And so then there comes a minority knocking on the door and saying, you know, will you consider being diverse and give a minority the opportunity to bid on this business?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just simply believing in my client that I should joint venture with this company, I did so.
All right.
To my demise, I didn't vet the company, who ended up owing us more than $100,000.
Ouch. Yeah.
And you've got to ask those tough questions. Like, you don't want to just go on faith. You know, you have to be, like, business-minded and write everything down and get contracts. Those things are so important because we think we can do things on a handshake. You may have had contracts, but like you said, if the vetting wasn't, you know, if you didn't both have the same mission, then you're in trouble.
Well, Gwen, thank you for sharing with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So here's my question, Faith, because you've been in business now, you said 3.5 years. You sell food. You sell things that will really expand the waistline of anyone. No matter what.
I have good stuff.
That's my point.
Stuff
yeah,
too.
That's my point. Healthy chocolate sugar and all of and cupcakes and all that other stuff. But you know, okay, you've got a great place. You've got a great product. I've eaten some of your stuff, and I try not to because I don't want to get addicted. So what do you think is the issue, and why do you think the business is struggling?
I think undercapitalization for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think our location has been a true challenge, and staffing. Mm. You know, staffing is really, you know, you have standards that must be adhered to. You put standard operating procedures into place, and then you hire people and you trust them, and they don't follow the vision.
What about that, Ron? What's the staffing issue? And the reason the thing that comes to mind is that when you have successful companies that deal with the public, the McDonald's model, you know, it kind of comes to mind where, you know, under the right circumstances, you know, for decades, there's a plan, there's a program that hasn't changed. Yeah, since I worked at McDonald's when I was 16.
Harold, I worked in corporate America for about 9 years. IBM, Xerox, was a senior VP at Coca-Cola. And before I left corporate America to go into business for myself, I went to work for the exact same company, McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
And not because I needed the extra $8 an hour they were paying us at the time, but because I wanted to understand the processes and the procedures. I tell people all the time, the same French fry you get in San Antonio, you get in Seattle, you get in San Antonio, and you get in Singapore. And it's got little bit to do with how much salt they put on the fry or how long they keep it in the fryer. It is really about a process, procedures, and really about a system that works. And so I said, when I went into business and I was going into janitorial service, so I knew it was all about managing people. And so I said, instead of going into business trying to manage people, I wanted to manage processes. And so I spent a good 6 months working there from 8 to 12 each and every night to understand the mindset of a McDonald's franchisee. And they have it down. And so I tell entrepreneurs, before you go into business, think about creating something that's duplicatable, that has a process so that most people will follow programs if you educate them. They'll do it to the T. And if you were at McDonald's, you'd know like I do, there's a system for everything that happens.
you're getting the side eye over here, Ron.
I'm so sorry, Ron. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but when I have to tell the same person how to make a smoothie 8 times within 1 week, I don't understand it. There's a recipe on the wall.
And I think to that difficult example that Faith just used, managing people is considerably more difficult than managing things. If you're managing things, if you put a thing in the corner, it's going to be there in the morning. You can't put a person in a corner and expect them to be there in the morning. So how do you manage the personnel issue?
Well, for us, it was all about process.
Mm-hmm.
And I will continue to say it because I've seen it work where you have minimum wage employees doing a job. I worked at Disney World where we were just excited to be able to have the job and then follow the processes. I had 700 employees, started with 5, my mother, my father, my sister, and me. I understand the appetite that an employee has of not following procedures, but I tell you, it can work. We did a survey here of 1,600 small business owners. They were all small. And of the black businesses and Hispanic-owned businesses, of the ones in our community, the average-sized black-owned business does less than $75,000 a year, actually $74,860. But those firms that were doing in excess of $1 million, the primary difference between the two is the firms doing more than $1 million were continuing to educate themselves,
okay,
continuing to go to classes, continuing to take seminars, were continuing to better not only themselves but their employees versus, in our case, not mom and pops, but mom or pops were really lifestyle businesses. They were just trying to maintain the current status. If you're not trying to continue to improve your company, continue to improve yourself, you're going to continue to get the same kind of challenges. And I know as a small business owner, you think to yourself, well, yeah, that sounds great in philosophy, but in my small business, these are the real-world challenges that I'm having. And I'm not trying to minimize those challenges. Again, I was in one of the most difficult industries possible with some of the most difficult employees to manage. And I'm telling you, it's not easy, but yeah, it can be done.
I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Alan calling from D.C. We're also going to talk about marketing and some foundational things to help you move your struggling business forward. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.